Rishta. But we will end it with also how we break these bad things and what remedies we can do. And what are the combinations in the chart which breaks these bad things. Because you know, when people are coming to you to show their horoscopes, they're basically going to come to you because of their problems and suffering. And it's like when somebody goes to the doctor, they don't go there because they're feeling in the pink of their health. They're going there because they have some ailment. So though, of course, people will come to you to fix a marriage muhurta also, or for the naming of their child also, but 90% of the time, or may I say 95% of the time, people will come to you because they are having some problems, some suffering, right? Whether it's health, whether it's any old kind. I mean, I'm sure many of you are also going through such things. And that is the reason why they come. So this is the first thing that we see in the chart. We do this a little bit later in the course, but we're doing this before now. So that you would have learned all other techniques like special lagnas and vishesha lagnas and bhava lagnas and ghatikalas, beyond everything, and ghatakas and badhakas. After that, beyond everything, this is the first thing you check in the chart. Okay? So rishta means all that is evil. We are going to exactly go through. And here, you know, most of the stuff that I'm going to be talking to you about is all there in the slide. So it's not one of those things which are, you know, which is going to fly over your head. So, this is Parashara Sutra. Ado Jadmam Gato Vipra.
Ado Jadmam Gato Vipra.
Rishta Rishtam Vijarayet.
Rishta Rishtam Vijarayet.
Tatastan Vadi Bhavanam.
Tatastan Vadi Bhavanam.
Jatakasya Phalam Vadet.
Jatakasya Phalam Vadet.
Yeah, so the first thing what they are saying is Vijarayet means judge. Jataka is the horoscope. So what you have to do from the birth horoscope, you will have to judge the Rishta and Arishta. That is the first thing that you will need to do. So we first must understand what is the meaning of Rishta. Rishta means, and here this definition meanings are given over there to you, that is to hurt, harm or destroy. Rishta is something that hurts you, that harms you, that injures you to the extent that it can ruin you and even destroy you. Alright? It is also failures, it is also misfortunes and disasters that we encounter. Because misfortunes and disasters can also ruin our lives. Okay? Yes, this is second volume. This is in the second volume.
Chapter 63.
Just tell them the page number if it is there.
63. Volume 2.
Okay. So it is hurting, harming, injuring, disasters, misfortune, anything that can bring forward your failure and your ruin. Now this is of course in the extreme form. Now even if these combinations are there in the minor form in our chart, we will have minor ups and downs of course. And look at that interesting thing in point C. It is not just these factors, but it is also somebody's desire to injure you. We are including that also. It's not just that I have fallen over the mountain and I have broken my back and I am like wheelchair ridden for the rest of my life. Or a thief comes into my house, it can just be a friend or a relative inside the house who are intentionally thinking of destroying you and harming and injuring you. Look at what this big case which is going on right now. What is that? That is somebody inside the house, right? It is that the mother is the rishta to the young girl. So it is an intentional harm and injury also that we are talking about. So it is a negative word meaning someone or something with an evil intention. So that factor also we are taking into consideration. And here is what is said before venturing into the reading of the results of the bhava. The first duty of a jyotisha is to determine the rishta. This is a very important point for you to know. Because normally before this we would have studied all the bhavas and bhaveshas and then we come to this. But we decided to do this earlier because it's an important topic. And one of the most important topics in the year, in fact. And here it says that before even analyzing the bhavas and the bhaveshas, this your duty, the first duty of the astrologer is to determine the evils and dangers and arishta. Now, Arishta is the good. Arishta is not the evil. Alright, all of you or most people whom I encounter in common parlance, they consider Arishta to be the evil. You know, you think, oh, Balarishta, this, that. You know, these are common terms. But what is the term Balarishta? It's Bala plus Rishta. In Sanskrit, I told you, there is a special combination called Sandhi. It has become Balarishta. But the word is Balarishta, meaning Bala means youth. When you are young, what are the Rishtas that you are having? So when a child has Balarishta yoga, the child can die early. That is the whole thing. So Rishta is the evil, not Arishta. Arishta means that which can protect you from the evil. Arishta is like an immune, you know, it's like an antibody to the system. It is a turmeric in your system. It is your antibiotic that you're taking. It is your immune system. It is a protection. Alright, it is that which protects you. So Arishta is very, very important. And when we, after doing the main thing for us, of course, is to identify all the Rishtas in the chart. But after that also we will go into whether you have Arishta combinations in the chart. So you've understood what Arishta means. Arishta is not a bad word. Arishta means the turmeric in your chart. The antibiotic in your chart. The immune backup in your chart. What is there? Everybody's chart doesn't have, but some people's chart have it prominently. So even if they have bad combinations, if that Arishta good combination is there, you can always capitalize on it and give the remedy of that. If they are very important remedies. Okay. And then the third word that you must know is Rishta Bhanga. So we have Arishta and Rishta Bhanga where remedies are concerned. Rishta Bhanga means what is the combination we can have to break the Rishta. Or if there are no combinations, what can we do to break the Rishta? The Rishta has to be broken. So Rishta Bhanga and Arishta is whatever the immune system, the defense mechanism which is already there. So both Arishta and Rishta Bhanga are necessary for us. Okay? So this is exactly what we are talking about. It's basically here in the slide. Rishta is causing a tear, breaking, injury, hurt, miscarriage. It just goes a little bit further into our definition. So which means, yes?
I think that the page, the slide is missing.
This slide is missing, you can write it.
No, it is there. Look at the recent
super
slide.
Look at the second slide in on page 63.
Oh, okay.
It is there. It is there. It's on the first page.
It is me.
It's a small box.
You want me to go back, is it?
No.
Yeah, I found it. Okay. So, we already went through the definition. This is just going in a little bit more. And it is saying that damage to the extent of like causing a tear in your life. Causing a tear doesn't mean a tear like your dress caught onto a nail and it tore. That's not what we are talking about. A tear in your life. Tear in not just physical body but to the extent that in the life. I know this very young boy, I'm sure many of you know of cases like this. A college going boy, he's a filmmaker, very brilliant, very everything. And he was living in Calcutta and he was on this, you know where the red road is. There's a part of the area of the city where the roads are very wide and green next to the river. And these young boys, four or five of them, were driving down late in the night, enjoying themselves. I don't know whether they were under the effect of alcohol or not or whatever, maybe coming back from a party, whatever like college going boys do. And they met with an accident. And the three of the boys died on the spot. It was a head-on accident with the truck. So the boy who was driving, the boy sitting next to him, and one of the boys who was sitting behind on the spot there. It was so bad. And the other boy, the one, the fourth boy, whom actually I know, I mean, is a nephew of mine. This boy, emergency, surgeries, operations, etc. And his entire spinal cord is gone. So that boy is bound to the wheelchair in a very bad way. He is just completely paralyzed, this down, and there's nothing that you can do about it. And of course, he must be having fantastic, I have his chart somewhere, must be having fantastic Rishta Bhanga causes also. So he's had other family members support him, he did a lot of, he in that condition went, fulfilled his dream of doing a course in film theory, because he was very interested in filmmaking. He did his degrees in photography and film theory and trained himself to how to, you know, go to the toilet, etc. And now for the last 2-3 years he's in Canada, in Montreal, I think, or Vancouver, I don't know which city, one of the two, and is in a big film institute over there and studying and teaching and living on his own. So he must be having some rishta bhagya, but this is a rishta. That suddenly out of the blue and your whole spinal, there's nothing that you can do. The spinal cord is completely gone. And when the spinal cord is gone, it's gone, there's nothing left. No physiotherapy, no nothing. Okay? That's a pure rishta. That's a tear that is not only causing in the body, but a tear that is caused into his life. Alright? These are the kind of combinations we are going to discuss. That's why I'm stressing this fact on you. It is also symbolized by the weapons of the Dikpala Devatas and the power to punish and torture. Now, you all have studied a bit of the Dikpala Devatas, right? I believe you all did some bijas and etc. you were talking about. So, Dikpala Devatas play a very important role in this. Now, there is a combination where we say that for every planet, the Dikpala Devata is associated with. Have you done that? When you did the bijas, did you do that? Like sun is associated with Indra.
Yeah.
You did that, right? The planets are associated with the Dikpalas. So basically, the thing which goes around saying is that where the Devata sits, the tenth from that will be the planet. So basically, if I have sun in the fifth house, Indra, who is the Dikpala Devata of Surya, will be in the eighth house. The planet is in the tenth from the Dikpala Devata. If you come from the Devata, the planet is in the 10th. So the Dikpala Devata, Indra is in the 8th, Surya is in the 5th.
For all of them it's in the 10th?
For all of them it is like that. That is the way they sit. The Vahana or the Devata is usually in the 4th house.
Or from the planet.
Yeah, from the planet. But basically what you need to know is the 10th is the most important thing. So the weapons of the Dikpala Devata becomes very important. Basically what you need to know at this stage, don't go into the other complications right now. You will learn it over the years. More details about Dikpala Devatas and the mantras and things like that. What you need to know are the weapons. Do you know what the weapons of Dikpala Devatas are? Did you do it the other day?
No.
With the bijas?
No.
So the weapon of Indra is Vajra. Right? Weapon of Indra is Vajra. Weapon of Varuna is? Is it Pasha or is it Ankusha?
Pasha.
Is it Pasha? You are very clear about it? Okay, just write it down. Whether it is Pasha or it's Ankusha?
Ankusha.
Yes, Ankusha is like a hook. It's a long rod with a hook. And Pasha is a nose. We will see which one. Alright. Then, is Yama one of the Dikpala Devatas?
Yes.
So, Yama carries a gada. Gada, you know, is a mace, like a club. Vajra is a thunderbolt. That is Indra. Then Vayu, what does Vayu have? I thought Vayu had Ankusha.
Yes,
Vayu is Ankusha. Right? See, they are already third year into Pisha. See, they have done enough of Dikpala Devatas. Vayu is Ankusha and Varuna is Pasha, right?
Yes.
So Indra is Vajra, Vayu is Ankusha, Varuna is Pasha, Yama is Gada. Who are we leaving behind? Who else is there? We just done four.
Agni.
Agni. What is Agni? Yes?
I thought Tam.
Tam. No, not the Tam. Tam is not his weapon. What is Agni? Shula?
Spear. No.
Okay, just write it down and then you can correct it. Do you remember the others, Jitendra? Try. Shula? Then Kubera. Do you know what Kubera's Astra is? Yes. Kubera's is not the nose. The nose is Pasha, that is Varuna. So Kubera, basically it's very interesting. You must find out. See, a little bit of homework. This is easily something you can do. Because then it will get into your head instead of me dictating a list, which will not get into your head and repeat the list every year. But just to give you an idea. So Kubera is very interesting. What is Kubera's Astra? Do you know what is Kubera's Vahana?
Human.
Yes, the human thing. Because Kubera's Vahana is a human thing, human being is his Vahana. And basically he is controlling the 10 Indriyas. The 5 Gyanendriyas and the 5 Karmendriyas are controlled by Kubera. Basically the man, and basically what it's trying to say, that human beings are the slave of Kubera, which is basically the slave of money. Alright? You become a slave of Kubera, but basically you should not be a slave of Kubera, and the only way you can stop being a slave of Kubera is by controlling your Indriyas. That is the whole concept of the iconography behind Kubera's thing. Okay?
Indriya is not related to Indra.
No. Well, in a sense it is. Because Indra is he who has conquered his Indriyas.
Okay. He is more in a higher level.
So Indra, by the knowledge that we have, is the king of gods, right? All of you know that. He apparently lives a very luxurious life. He lives in Swargaloka, he is surrounded by Gandharvas and Apsaras and beautiful women and these people who sing, and he is leading a luxurious life. So this is the thing, that when we are all slave to this kind of life, that is the whole significance of it. And Indra means king. Indra is he who has conquered his Indriya. That is the real meaning of Indra. The true Indra is he who has conquered his Indriya. So don't go by the apparent vision of we have of Indra, who's just having a nice time with all the Gandharvas and Apsaras and eating good food in Swarga. So one of the Indras is a position which is of a king, one of the Indras who is bad, usually then that Indra gets cursed and he gets dethroned and all that. In the stories, if you read the scriptures, constantly these stories are there. That something happened and this Indra took a bad decision. Immediately he was cursed by some rishi or the other and he got dethroned from Swarga. This whole notion of dethroning, and the other actual demons are taking over. So this dethroning is always happening when Indra succumbs to his Indriyas. Indra is not supposed to succumb to his Indriyas. He is supposed to be a conqueror of his Indriyas. And this is exactly where this is linked to. So that's actually a very good question, Sri. Because it's totally linked. It's a very, very subtle kind of this thing. That's why even, not only money, with Indra, even the lust concept is also there. That is why he once, when he was cursed, he had 100 or 1000 yonis on his body. Because he lusted after. There are a lot of stories, he lusted after a lot of wives of rishis and things like that. So then he was cursed with that the yoni, 100 or 1000 of them, 100 I think. That's so that was there on his body because of that, and you shall be marked for it. So whether it is the lust, tama, or whether it is the money, or whether it is just the luxury of a Venus, Swarga Logos always associated with Venus. But in really the right, correct, Indra is above all this. It's when he falls that he does these things and he gets banished and dethroned. That's the story. So Indra is actually not a bad guy. He's the one who's conquered. And the story of Kubera, why it is Naravahana? Because we are all slaves to Kubera. Because we are slaves to Kubera, we are not supposed to be slaves to him. We should be like Indra and conquer our 10 Indriyas. That is why when you have the pictures of the Navagrahas, you know, with their rathas, you know, the pictures, even in your Vishnu Puran, these descriptions are given. That each planet or each graha has, you know, dressed in a certain way, they look in a certain way, and they have different kind of chariots. You know, somebody has a one-wheeled chariot, Surya has 7 horses pulling it. Everybody has certain numbers. All these numbers and descriptions are very important. It is not just arbitrary. So, Moon, for example, has 10 horses. Surya has 7 horses, Moon has 10 horses. And Moon has 10 horses precisely because of this. Again, the concept of the Manas coming in, where Chandra is there. And 10 horses representing the 10 Indriyas. Actually, if you read the description in the Vishnu Puran, it starts with this. When I told you all, the whole part of the Vishnu Navi and the Brahma Navi, that part, the zodiacal movement, the whole chapter when it starts there, It describes the navis, then it describes the planets moving around. And there it will say each of them are dressed like this, this is the chariot, that many horses, and it goes into a little bit of detail over there. So it's very important for you to go deeper into that. Okay? So these Dikpalas come back to us again and again. Yama, why I'm mentioning Yama, we will be discussing Yama a little bit in today's discussion. So Kubera is there, Yama is there, who else is there? Niriti is there.
Niriti.
So Kubera's weapon is money. Murdika. Then we have Niriti in the southwest corner, right? The one who does Raksha. Niriti is over there. What is Niriti's weapon? Who is there in the northeast corner? Is it Ishana? Ishana is the one who holds the Trishul. He is Ishana's Shiva. So he is the Shiva.
Agni is Shula.
Agni is a different kind of, it's a sphere kind of a thing. The Trishula is Ishana's. That is Shiva's prerogative. Nobody takes it from him. So, you know, there, and then eventually we have Dikpala mantras, which, as I said, you don't need to learn now. Things like Om Ishanaya, Shulapanaya Swaha. Pani means hand. What is that you are holding? Om Indraya, Vajrapanaya Swaha. So, all these Dikpala mantras are there. What I'm trying to point out to you all is, since you all did the Bijas the other day, I just got to know because Mariela pointed it out to me. Throughout the years, you will be learning this, and you can then you have. I'm sure gone through that. The 3 years you'll be learning the Dikpala Devatas like the Shraddhikus will come up. More so, of course, when you go into Germany, then it's only all about all these things. So, just familiarizing you and drilling into you that these are important concepts, don't put it under the carpet. Alright? Make a note of trying to just know a little bit about them. Just what they look like, right? Maybe who's their spouse, what is their weapon, just that much. And keep a note.
Nairiti,
I'm not giving you the list of all the weapons. I just gave you a little hint to say that this is what you need to know. So Arishta is what I've already discussed with you. That is the armor, is the proof against injury or damage, secure or safe. It's a warning. Proof means, it's, I told you, it's your defense system. It's your defense mechanism. It's the whole immune system of the body is Arishta. The terminating of blood is Arishta. That's what it actually is. And it can also be a warning. It is like a nimitta, like a, you know, birds often become warnings. So Arishtas are nimittas as well. Things like when people use garlic and turmeric and lemons and chilies, in here, right here in the hills, you will see people all use lemons and chilies. Maybe right up to Punjab they use it, right? You will see in India they use lemon and chilies. Even in Europe, you all have a lot of these things which are used. Lemon and chilies are not used. Garlic, I think, is used a lot somewhere. And so these are again Arishtas. You know, I'm hanging this talisman, I'm putting this charm over here, this wind chime over here, hanging chilies over here. All cultures all over the world have it. There's not a single culture which doesn't have it. This is Arishta. Putting a immune, putting a barrier, putting a defense mechanism that it doesn't come to me. Okay? Alright. So now this is a very important Sutra Parashara. I think in class one of you had asked this question. He said, Chaturvinshati Varshani. Yavad gacchanti janmataha. Janmarishtam tu tavat. Syadayu dayu na chintaye. Look at the age that he has written over there. Chaturvinshati var. Chaturvinsha means 24. Ritu, was it you who was saying till 12 years we shouldn't see the chart? Who mentioned it the other day? You said, Nivedita. See what he's saying. He's actually saying 24 years. That's why I read the sutra out for you. And what is he saying? He's saying the longevity of the chart. Nivedita raised a question a few days ago that, you know, we have heard, and I'm sure many of you also heard, because this is what you are here to bring. The little things about Jyotish you have heard, now you see the shloka of Parashara and see what the actual thing he's saying. Okay? So all of you heard that in 12 years you don't see the chakra. No, not that. He's saying don't see the longevity. Definitely see the chart, because when a child is born, the entire horoscope is being. But don't see the longevity. That is what he's saying. Janmanishtam tu tavat ayur. Look at the word over there he's written. The evils at ayu, you don't see till the age is 24. Okay? The entire rishta period, birth rishta, which is known as Janmanishtam, continues till the age of 24. Alright, so he's saying don't see the rishta and don't see the ayu. But you may question sometimes, and I'm sure those of you who see charts, you may have had this experience. Definitely, we have had this experience. Suddenly, a friend or another student or somebody calls you, so and so baby's just born in the hospital and the baby's in a very bad way. Sometimes, right? And will the baby survive? What do you do then? At that time, there are certain what is known as Balarishta yogas, which you see. But you don't calculate longevity till the child has crossed 24. This is the Upadesha that Parashara is giving us. And again we come back to the 24 syllables of Gayatri. See how it is recurring again and again, this 24 thing. Because 24 syllables is your Gayatri. Okay. So what he's done over here is the Balarishta, the Rishta threat for a child exists up to 12 years. That is called the Balarishta. Then there is another Rishta threat which is up to 20 years. That is called Yogarishta. And then if that Rishta combinations are there up to 24 years, it is called Janmarishta. So that is why till then you do not analyze or look into the longevity of the charts. So, here you go. Look at the fifth point here. Periods of ill health and misfortunes can be stated as evil or dangerous, but never death. So, you never predict death till 24 years are complete. Are we very clear on this part? So, what would you do if a child has, as mother has bought a child to you when he is 10 years old or 12 years old or 13 years old? What is Parashara saying? That you're not to see longevity? So, what will you do if you see danger or ill health? You will just say that yes, there is a period of ill health, there is a period of some trouble. Give the remedy, whatever remedy you are going to discuss, give the remedy which will break the rishta, and say do the remedy is very important, up to such and such age there is a problem. But do not say that you are seeing death. Alright, are we very clear on this? This is a very, very important point. Because if you predict longevity, that is predict death, for somebody who is below 24 years old, it brings a Gayatri dosha. Alright? It brings a Gayatri dosha, which is also called a Brahma dosha. Okay? This is also known as a Brahma dosha. And now you know why Gayatri? Because of the 24 syllables. So are you all clear on this point? Okay, this is just going in a little bit more on the Gayatri dosha. This is known as the four senses. Remember we did the four kendras? Mm-hmm. Do you recall when we did grahas, we did the four kendras and we did the four Gayatris? Yes. Brahma Gayatri, do you remember the name? Brahma Gayatri then? Vishnu Gayatri then? Shiva Gayatri and? Shakti Gayatri or Kali Gayatri. Right? These are the four Gayatris of the four kendras. So, you can get doshas from these four Gayatris. So, for example, for Lagna Gayatri is related to the Lagna, to the first house. What is the first house? The first house is to do with your health and is to do with your longevity. So, over there, if below 24 you are recommending, then you are getting a Brahma dosha over there. This is what they are indicating. So, you can incur all these Gayatri doshas. If it is related to the work, if you are predicting some bad things related to work, that is considered a karma dosha. If it is something very bad related to your seventh house, it is called a kama dosha. And if it is related to the fourth house, which is the most damaging of all, because that is the moksha marga as we discussed, that is a turiya dosha. So Deepen, you just catch up on this,
yes.
What we did with them, not a lot, it's just a few days.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Okay. These doshas means the 24, after 24.
Yeah, yeah, after 24. But basically after 24 is a lagna dosha is the main that we are talking about. Because that's where your health is concerned. The main gayatri is a brahma gayatri.
Yeah.
That is concerned. So we are saying that longevity issues we do not predict. But what we are saying is we can extend this, that they can be doshas related to all the other gayatris as well. But, yeah.
Wrong prediction given in karma. Kama and
Tuya, yes, absolutely, absolutely. So it is not just like, did you hear, he made a very important point. He says that if you give wrong, not only prediction, wrong advice. Suppose if you are advising Dushkarma, is that a good thing? We talked about Dushkarma also. Then you can incur the dosha of Vishnu over there. It's a Vishnu Gayatri. And the curse of Vashishtha will come on you. The curse of Vashishtha, who was Rama's guru, will come on you. In the case of wrong advice, like seventh house is concerned, or wrong indications, Rudra's Gayatri is getting afflicted, and the curse of Vishwamitra is coming over you.
Over,
so,
over the astrologer.
Yes, over the astrologer. But largely, we are concerned with this, because this is what we face. The lagna thing, what is important for us over here, we are discussing rishta. So the lagna thing, but we are extending that to explain the concept a bit more to you. So don't get digressed to the other part of the, but it is true, if you are giving wrong advice, you are incurring that curse. Not necessarily wrong prediction, but wrong advice. Yeah.
That's at any age, regardless of...
Yeah, yeah, of course. The other three are off at any age, yes. Of course.
Unless this matchmaking is done based upon the stars. So all those people are giving a mistake. Because you have the star and she has the star, they are matching, go and people are telling. And the panchangas are also written there. And then the pandits are advising that you marry to these people by based on just matching of the stars. So all of them they will get.
Yeah. And mainly what we are talking about here is wrong advice. If clients have come to you, people are showing their chart, who are having problems related to 7th house, which is a very common thing. And you feel that the person has gone into a wrong path. And if you are advising, because as a Jyotish, you are just not making a prediction. You are advising. You are showing the path. Remember the light, Veda Chakshu, you are showing the path. And if you are doing that and if you are giving a wrong advice over there, you are encouraging what the person is doing. You are supporting that. Then you will incur. This is what we are trying to say. You are not to encourage a person in the wrong path. You have to try to bring the person out of that wrong path. And if you feel that the person sitting in front of you, maybe somebody very big, maybe the prime minister of a country sitting in front of you, who knows, you may have it, and you cannot say that, then there are ways in which you should say that. Then you should say it diplomatically to bring him away from that path that he's on. Give him mantras which will break those things. This is what it's trying to say. If you encourage a person to do wrong things in this, you are incurring the wrath of Vishwamitra. If you are encouraging a person to do wrong things where the karma is concerned, you are then Vishnu Gayatri is being affected. Vashishtha's Shaka will come to you. So we are saying that how it happens, the Brahma Dosha, similarly, it can be extended to other failures. It's a principle that is being explained. But you are very clear that you are not to predict death to a person unless he's crossed 24 years of age. And that if you see that there is danger and there is illness, you will say that there is illness and give the remedy and etc. Do not say that I see death. Okay, are you clear on this, Natalia? Because you were looking puzzled.
Wrong thing means wrong mantra prescription. Wrong mantra prescription.
Where in these cases, the number 2 and 3? No, wrong thing means encouraging him to do the wrong thing.
Like leave your wife, or you know, like actual giving, like saying do this, do that. Do
yeah, this. See, exactly. So the thing is that if a person is in a very bad marriage. A woman maybe is beaten up by the husband, or husband's being beaten up by the woman, or can have so many bad things. There, if the person wants to leave and go away, of course you will then help the person in that. I'm not talking about that, but if there's somebody who's there's nothing wrong and is just doing a whole bunch of adulterous activities, or is having 3 wives living in the house, or there can be so many combinations. You know, then you don't encourage him. You can see that that doshas are there. You have to try to bring the person out. If you are encouraging him in his bad karma, you are also getting that thing on him.
Yeah.
If a person is where bad 10,000 issues are concerned, if the person is a cheat, a murderer, or somebody who is doing a lot of wrong things, you will have to maybe give a remedy which will break him out and talk to him in such a way, even if you can't talk to him directly, talk to him in such a way so that you are kind of gentle. You're not going to sit there and give him a moralistic lecture because a person may not be ready to take it. But you, what will you do? You have to be clever and guide the person in such a way so you are discouraging him from following that path. Maybe give a remedy and mantra which will make him stop doing that thing. He may not know why you are giving it to him. So your responsibility as a Jyotishi comes in. Parashara is very, very strict about responsibilities of Jyotishis. Yeah.
But if you make a mistake, you interpreted it wrong, it still comes on you as...
Well, if you make a mistake, then it is not that serious. It is not what we are trying to say more is that if you are encouraging somebody to go on, for example, you have a lot of these conditions in your south where a person is married, then they marry again, illegal wives. 2-3 wives is a very common thing. Now, if you have astrologers, they come, you should say, no, that's illegal. You don't encourage him and say, yes, okay, you love the person, go and have a second wife. You have to say it's illegal. You have to say, no, it's not legal. You can't do it. Our social structure doesn't allow it. If you say yes, then you're breaking the norm yourself.
As an astrologer, you don't encourage his misdeeds.
Yes, then those doshas of the Kendra are coming onto you. This is the whole point. Okay, very much so. Similarly, remember we told you the first chapter, which are there in the first slides of your book also, what he says the qualities of a Jyotishi should be about passing on the knowledge to others. This, that. He said, somebody who doesn't believe in this knowledge, you should never pass on the knowledge to somebody who doesn't believe in this knowledge. He is very, very, Parashara is the person who really goes into what are your duties of an astrologer. So these things will come up again and again. He is pretty much particular about this thing. Okay, so let's move ahead.
Intentionally, we should not do bad.
Definitely. Not only should you not do intentionally bad, you should try to do good and bring the other person away from bad. Right? That is the thing. So now we start discussing some of the combinations that we have over here. Okay. So, if you want to extend the concept of the chandas, because for the Brahma Dosha we talked about 24 syllables of Gayatri Chanda, then for the 7th house, do you know what the chanda is? For the 7th house? Anushtup Chanda. So what is the number of syllable over there? 32. So mark 32 over there. Okay, to 7th house? Is it to 7th house or is it for 10th house? Anushtup. Then for the 4th house you have Vidat Chanda, which is of 10. So anyway, I don't get caught up into all this. What we are trying to tell you is we can get the years and can get these exact timing of years for which you shouldn't. But the main focus over here is on the longevity. And you are pushing me away from that point. The main focus here is on the Brahma Dosha and the longevity. Okay, so discussing the other thing was just trying to give you an idea that this extends up to the other kendras. Okay, so let's not digress. Okay, so Dusthana Chandra. Okay, this says, if the moon is in a Dusthana, that is in 6th, 8th or 12th houses from Lagna, and the moon is aspected by malefic planets, then the natal death will occur very quickly. And it is also saying that the death occurs in the 8th year if other benefic planets are weak and powerless. So have you got this point? It is saying, talking about the placement of the moon. The moon is a very important graha in the chart. And this moon should not be in a bad placement. So it is understood that you would have studied bhavas by now and you would have known what is a good placement and a bad placement. But since we are doing this before we have studied the bhavas, Can somebody tell me, do you know what is a dusthana?
6,
8 and 12. All of you are clear on this? 6, 8 and 12 houses are known as the dusthana powers. So it is saying if Chandra is in either 6, 8 or 12 houses, obviously from Lagna, not from himself, and it is aspected by malefic planets. These two conditions are there.
Yeah, only the question comes when the malefic planets are there, whether, you know, there could be malefic planets, but they must be going Kendra or Kona. So should I take, because general malefics are Mars, Saturn, Rahu and Koi Ketu.
Mars, Saturn, Rahu, Ketu, Surya also in many sense, some extent.
Yeah. Yeah. So here, how do we, only the freedom comes, maleficence, general maleficence, or by the ownership of the maleficence?
No. Naisargika karaka. Use the correct term. It is Naisargika karaka. Whenever he is talking about malefic planets and these kind of things, it is Naisargika karaka. He is talking about Shani, Mangal, Rahu and Ketu. They are not talking about individual things in the chart. Dusthana already. Okay, Dusthana means those bhavas are there. And malefics means the Naisargika malefic planets. So he is saying when this happens, the death will occur. Unless, and if benefit planets are also weak, then it becomes all the more stronger. So what happens is that if this combination is there in a very pure form, you will have that threat to death when you are young, in the first 8 years of your life. Many people have had a lot of combinations where they have had these experiences. Okay? We are talking about D1 here. So, I am going to give you this example. I am going to give you a small examples. When I give you these examples, what you can do is you can quickly draw the charts. And you should get used to drawing the charts. Okay? Quickly you should draw the charts and put the planets in. Alright? In whatever form of horoscope drawing you do. So, this is a chart. This is actually Guruji's chart. So, you can put in Pisces Lagna. Alright? Moon is in the 12th house. Make a marker over there straight away. Moon is in the 12th house. Rahu is in the 4th house. Mars in the 7th. Ketu in the 10th. Saturn in the 11th, Venus in the 5th, and Mercury in the 6th. All right, so do you think that this principle applies? Yes?
Rahu
is aspecting the moon. And the moon is placed in a dual sign. Right? Moon is placed in the Dusthana. Moon is placed in the Dusthana, the 12th house. Okay? And it is being aspected by Rahu. Sun is in the 5th house. And Guru is in Lagna. Yeah, it is Grahadishti. Grahadishti means the desire is there. So he calls the cause the damage. And Jupiter is in Lagna. So what you can see that the other benefits are well placed. There is a very strong guru in Lagna. Okay? So that way that guru is a huge blessing. The guru is not weak. Shukra is in the 5th house, which is also good. It is not bad. So his benefit planets are not bad. And we have Rahu aspecting that Chandra. Okay? Although Rahu is exalted and aspecting. So Rahu does have a very strong desire to affect the person. So in his first year of birth only, he had fallen into the Hirakud Dam. There is a huge dam. I don't know whether people are aware what dams mean. You know these reservoirs where the river is blocked up and things like that. Then it becomes there's a Orissa has huge rivers. So there is the Hidakut dam, and they were all playing. The mothers and grannies and all were there, and he kind of crawled down and fell into the dam straight away. And he would have died. It was in the first year. That is Rahu's Drishti, Raha Drishti, Alexander. But what happened? One of the grannies who were there, that granny just dived into the dam and swam and picked him up and brought him up. So you can say grandparents overall are shown by Jupiter. Overall grandparents are shown by Jupiter. Alright, now to this I will add another aspect. When Saturn here, moon in Dushthana, this point number one, with Saturn aspecting the Lagna is Brahmana Yoga. That is, it's called a Brahmana Yoga, where the native becomes an ardent follower of Veda and Vedanga. Now, what is the principle behind this? Moon in Dushthana, we discussed this, with the malefic aspecting, all this happened. Now, along with it, now we're adding another layer, that it, with this combination, if Shani is aspecting the Lagna, and the child survives, then it gives you Brahmana Yoga. Because Saturn is a karaka of longevity. And if here Saturn, though it is aspecting Lagna, but the child has survived and is giving you longevity, he is giving you longevity for a greater purpose, to follow some traditional path. Mm-hmm. And that is why this is a famous combination of Brahmana Yoga. Our Zoran also has it.
So this is a compulsory condition along with this.
No, it is an additional condition, not a compulsory condition. I am adding a layer to it. The condition is moon in Dushthana aspected by malefic.
That's right.
That is it, okay? And along with it, the third condition is, if the benefits are also weak and powerless, then definitely within the first 8 years, there can be death. But along with it, if benefits are strong, like in Guruji's case with that Guru in Lagna, etc., itself is very strong. So then, you know, you can get saved. And we are now adding some layer to it. That is the combination of the death and longevity. What we are adding to it is a Brahmana Yoga, that along with this combination, if you have Shani aspecting Lagna, alright, and Shani has given you that life, so you have gone over your Balarishta and you have survived, then it is for a certain purpose that Shani has kept you alive. And to do the path of the elders, do the work of the seers. So basically you become a Brahmana Yoga, it is called. You become a Pandita in scriptures. Veda, Vedanga. Zoran has moon in 8th house with Saturn in the 4th. Yes. And Rahu aspecting Chandra. Chandra in 8th house, Rahu having 5th Drishti on Chandra from the 4th, and Shani having 10th Drishti on Chandra from the 4th. Brahmana Yoga. This is one of our Gemini scholars who's, yeah. Shani in the Lagna will also count, but basically aspecting Lagna is better. Because Shani in the Lagna gives some other negative connotations also, we will talk about it, yes?
Aspecting Lagna or aspecting
Moon? Lagna. No, Shani aspecting Lagna. Shani aspecting Lagna, because I gave you the reason for it. When Saturn is aspecting Lagna, Saturn is keeping you alive over there because longevity, the person has survived it, then he's keeping you alive for a certain purpose of life. Saturn aspecting Lagna moon in Dushthana is a confirmation for Brahmana Yoga.
So, in other words, if in Guruji's chart Saturn was not aspecting Lagna, then the chance that he would have died would have been greater.
No. That is in addition. It is an additional. It doesn't matter. He has Guru in Lagna anyway.
I see.
Yes.
And this sloka is saying that this combination is deactivated after the 8th year. So once the child passes the 8th year, because if I see somebody who has this but they're 50 years old, there's no worry.
No.
Only the...
Yes, it's a Balarishta Yoga. Okay. There are many such combinations we will study, so you will see. Okay?
This is a Balarishta Yoga, right?
8 years, na? Okay. If it's 8 years, it must be Balarishta, though he doesn't say. Common sense, I'm saying. Does anybody have here in the class moon in Dushthana? Yes, Nirmal, tell me, what is your Lagna?
Aries.
Aries Lagna, where is your Chandra?
Chandra in 8th house.
So okay, so Aries Lagna, Chandra in 8th house. So we don't need the sign. Chandra is in 8th house.
And Saturn in Lagna.
Saturn in Lagna. But Saturn is not aspecting the moon.
No.
Where is Rahu?
Rahu is in 12th house.
Rahu is aspecting the moon. That is what we are interested in. Rahu is aspecting the moon. So there is this Balarishta Yoga is there with the Rahu is aspected. Where is Mangal?
Mangal in 3rd house.
Mangal is in 3rd house. So basically you have Rahu aspecting with moon in the 8th house. So definitely he may have had some conditions when in the first 8 years of his life.
Yes, in fact, I don't know what the condition, but I have a tabij which like my grandfather has got it done. So there is a Om in Kling Somaya is the written in that.
You understood what she said? He said that I don't know what happened to me, but his grandfather has made a little talisman, you know, like a
silver chandra.
Yeah. Kavachas are usually of silver. Okay? And the mantra of chandra is written. So tell them the mantra. Om
in Kling Somaya.
Om in Kling Somaya Nama. So the Chandra's mantra is written over there and it was given to him when he was a child.
Yes.
So probably the astrologer would have seen and said that there is a threat. So they recommended this tabij. Got it? The fact is you are saying that along with it Saturn in Lagna. Yes, Saturn in Lagna is there, but Saturn in Lagna is also a bit of a Maranakarakasthana which we are going to study. But yes, it is. So have you always been interested in studying scriptures? Was that interest always there?
Yes.
Have you ever landed up studying there?
Not really. Here and there I would...
I know because he has been trying to join my Janmini batch from 2012. So finally landed up joining this Parashara course out here. So and then he was living in Bangalore, I think.
No,
more in there. Yes, there I do. I always thought he lived in Bangalore. I don't know why. So the Brahmana Yoga with Saturn in Lagna, it is there, but because Saturn in Lagna also there are some blemishes.
Yeah.
It started aspecting Lagna. That is a secondary thing that we are seeing. Mm-hmm. But get the point that Balarishta Yoga, he was given a remedy for it as a Rishta Bhanga. Anybody else has Chandra in Dusthana? Okay. Tell me.
Chandra in
Lagna.
In 8th house, Lagna in Mithuna.
Mithuna Lagna, Chandra in 8th house.
Yes.
And
aspected by Mars
from?
Not Rakhtarishi.
We are looking at Gandhishi. What about Rahu? Where is Rahu?
Also Rakhtarishi in 6.
No. So there are no Grahadrishis of Malachi. Saturn?
Saturn in the first house.
Saturn in the first house, no. So she doesn't have similar combination, but she doesn't have the malefic planet aspecting. So there is not this particular combination is not there. One more thing I want to ask for you is that where is Guru, Shukra and Buddha based in your chart?
Guru is in the 5th house.
Yes.
Shukra and Buddha in the 3rd house.
Okay. So he does have like a well-placed Guru in the Lagna trine. So that is also thing. So the benefic planet is not weak. Remember what is written. The benefic planet should not be weak or powerless. Benefic planet is not weak. The Guru has also been strong in the 5th house. So he got a mantra. Okay, so he got a mantra, the protection. And the grandfather again who's done it. Okay, Vikas.
Moon is 6th house.
Okay.
Lagna? Lagna is Libra.
Tula Lagna, Chandra in 6th, then?
Rahu is in 2nd, so Rahu aspecting...
Rahu has a Panchama Drishti. What about Mars and Shani?
Shani is in 9th house. Jupiter is in 5th house.
So Shani is also aspecting it.
Yes.
And Mars I asked about.
Mars is in 3rd house.
Mars in 3rd, so Mars is also aspecting. Oh, so look at this. So he has moon in the 6th house and having Graha Drishti of Shani, Mangal and Rahu. 3 malefics. Okay? Note. Then we ask him the next question. Where is Guru in your chart?
5th.
Guru is in the 5th house, so there is a protection of Guru over there. Where is Shukra? Because that's for Ganesha.
4th.
Yeah. So, and Buddha?
4th.
4th. So we have basically, he is protected. When you do Rishta Bhanga, you will see how these planets are important. The benefits are very strong.
And Shukra, I had 2 or 3 accidents in my adolescence.
When you were young. You had 2-3 accidents, but you survived. And was any puja or mantra done for you by your parents? Or you wouldn't know about that. They must have done, because Guru
is...
Grandfather. So, but look at this. The benefits are so strong. Shukra as a benefit is not only it is Lagnesha. If Lagnesha is strong, Lagnesha shall protect you. And it is in Digbala in the 4th house.
My sister has a combination of moon in the 8th house, born at an eclipse, so she's with Ketu. Opposite, she has Sun and Rahu and Venus. Mm-hmm. Her Lagna Lord, Jupiter, she's Sagittarius, Lagna, is in the 6th house, so it's not particularly strong. But she does have a very strong Yama Yoga in her chart. She has Saturn and Mars in the 11th house, and Saturn's giving the 10th Drishti to the moon. But she survived.
No, 11th house giving Drishti to Lagna.
No, to the moon. Malefic.
To the moon, but it is also aspecting Lagna, right?
11, 12, 4.
Of course. Radhashyam is considered very powerful. It's very, very powerful. But she has Shukra also over there, huh? Maybe her Guru and Shukra and all that are not bad.
The thing is that her Chandra is in Cancer. So I think that's some kind of...
That is Chandra, it is a Dusthana placement.
It's still a Dusthana placement.
The Venus is there, the Venus is in Kendra. Where is her Guru?
6th house.
In the 6th house, and where is Mercury?
Mercury is with Venus and Sun and Rahu in the 2nd house.
Yes, so probably Venus and Mercury are helping her in this combination, are breaking this axis.
Right.
And Saturn is giving her longevity because Saturn is looking at the Lagna. Saturn's Drishti on Lagna, we are talking about also.
Yes.
Though it is a malefic aspect, she may have had brushes when she was young. Yes. Yeah, because just to complete yours, so you have a very, very strong combination over there. Okay?
I had 3 accidents. One time I think fall in lake. Second time the tractor just passed by there.
And then?
Survived.
Because the Buddha is Lagnesha, Shukra, and Bhikvala. And Guru and Pitha are aspecting Lagna. Yeah.
What if moon is exalted in the 6th, 8th, or 12th?
Yeah, that is exactly what Mariela was talking about. She was talking about her sister's chart where moon is in the 8th house, but it is in Karaka. So it is not so much of a danger. So the Shastras tell us that when the moon is exalted but in its own sign, it is a much better thing. But it doesn't mean that the Chandrashtama dosha will not be there. It is much better, definitely, on some matters. So, it's not that all significations of moon will go. But the longevity signification of placement of moon in the 8th house, that will be affected. For example, Zoran also has it in Cancer in the 8th. And he always says that, look, he's a very good cook and he's obsessed with food. That's a Chandrashtama dosha. It is turned out to be a very good food and Ayurvedic cooking and such things. So that is despite moon being Karka. And so he dangles that in his in Guruji's face all the time. Oh, you always laugh at my moon, but see, I'm doing this. But also see, his obsession with health also comes because of that Chandrashtama. Obsessed with food. I can't eat this food, I can't that food. When he comes over here, he has somebody else cooking for him. It's a big drama, it's a big show, there is big people's mad, lot of things happening, but yet he's turned out to be a good cook. So his food obsession is there, but because it's own sign, he also is a good food and has done quite a lot of good things. He's advising his clients on Ayurvedic things as well. Issues can be with mother, and all kinds of things can be there. Yes, Rahul.
So I have a chart of my mind. Of Kumbha Lagna.
Yeah.
And the Chandra in the Ashtam Kanya.
Okay.
With the Mercury and Mars.
So moon is in the 8th house with Mangal.
Yes.
Okay. And where is Rahu and Shani?
Rahu in 5th house generally. And the Guru is in Spice.
Where is Shani?
Shani is in the 12th house, Capricorn.
No, okay. So the malefic aspect that 8th house Chandra is having is that of Mangal. So moon and Mars is also a Rudra Yoga, and placement of Mangal with moon in the 8th house is not good. Our Rosemary has that. She's a batch 2 student, she was just here for 2B. So all of you know, Rosemary has moon in Karka Lagna with moon and Mars in the 8th house. Very bad Rudra Yoga, so she's experienced, she's had helicopter crashes. Where with her spouses, she was a helicopter pilot, her spouses were also a helicopter pilot, and three times they have been dead, her spouses have died, and she survived, she has had got 32 injuries in her head, and she talks very openly about it, so I know she won't mind it all. If she was here, she would have very happily shared everything with you. So that's that Rudra Yoga. But why does for her, she has survived every time and manages to land up in all our courses. She just came in July for the Gemini course. She's back here for Ashura 2. We just left before you all came. So very strong in that sense. She has Venus in Lagna. You learn why these benefits, strong benefits help. Okay?
Maybe the Mercury sitting in his...
Rahul... moon and Mars, so we've identified that. Do you know whether she had any angels in the first 8 years of her life?
No.
You will not know. You may ask her. She also may not know, but she may know. Ask her. Where is Guru in her chart?
Jupiter is in the second house, aspecting moon, Mercury and Mars.
I'm not talking about Mercury in 8th house. Mercury in 8th house is not good. So don't divert the topic. Guru is in second house. Okay, not bad. What is the Lagna you said? Kumbha. Oh! Guru is in Mina, in its own sign aspecting. That is the point. Where is Mercury good?
No, Guru is aspecting that Rudra Yoga.
That is the good. So, benefit is not weak. Here it is telling you that if the benefit is weak and powerless, then sure death. Benefits are not weak here. I'm pointing that out to you again and again. That Mercury in 8th house is no benefit. I don't know what judgment of study of chart you are doing. How is it that a benefit? Benefit is Guru in Mina. Having Raha and Rashadrishti, that is a very strong benefit out there. Where is Venus?
Venus is in the 7th house with Sun.
Venus is in the 7th house. So Shukra is there in the Kendra, but is a Mina Guru which is protecting. You see in these cases where there are very strong combinations, like Vikasas is the strongest combination we saw, but very strong benefits are helping. You have to know how to judge what is a strong benefit and not make a comment like Rahul to say Mercury is in the 8,000, that is a benefit.
No, I am not saying benefit. So I am saying that whether the yoga is increased by this because the...
You make the judgment. You are studying Jyotish for 15 years. This judgment you should make. I understand if Akshat cannot say. This little judgment you should make. The point says very clearly that death occurs in the 8th year. Other benefic planets are also weak and powerless. Death is confirmed. Where you think Mercury in the 8th house is a strong benefit?
No, it is not. Then?
Is it placement in 8th house? I don't care if it is 8th lord. Placement in 8th house, is it a strong? Then what kind of judgment are you doing? Your whole entire analysis of the chart will fail on that spot. Guru is there in Mina Rashi. Is that benefit strong or weak? It's strong, huh? Very strong. And having Rashi and Brahadishti, what else do you need to see? Why are you after that Mercury? You are seeing that Guru? She is very good in speech. Very well spoken. She can speak very intelligently, very educatedly. See, she's, you know, our belly chastity, so I must have to make
ma'am, my Lagna is
Mesh
Aries and
yes.
Moon is in 6th house.
Okay, and where is Jupiter?
Ma'am, Jupiter is in 3rd house.
Okay, we'll leave Jupiter for the moment. Where is Rahu?
Ma'am, Rahu is in 10th.
Rahu is in 10th and Rahu is aspecting it as a 9th aspect. Mars?
When Mars is in 7th house, when Mercury is in?
Saturn?
Saturn is in 9th.
So he has, Saturn and Rahu are aspecting a moon in the 6th house. So do you know whether in the first 8 or 10 years, 8 years of your life you had health issues?
Or a
lot of it. Of course you were telling me also that I think. You had a lot of health issues, right?
I got a chandrama from my mama.
You got the?
The chandrama to wear.
Ah, see how it happens in India. Okay, his uncle gave him a moon to wear. Meaning they made a moon. What does it mean? He's showing it.
Yeah,
it's a silver moon. Oh, so that is representing moon, and it was given to him when he was a child. See how the Jyotishis do when they must have seen the chart. And who gives it to him? His uncle. So where is Mercury in your chart?
No, Mercury is in the 7th house.
Mercury is in the 7th house in Kendra. So Mercury, who is also the 6th lord, has stepped in and helped. Guru is not that great. Guru is in Madhavara Sthana in the 3rd. And where is Venus? Venus is in 8th. Yes. So Mercury is a thing. See how easy it is to catch. You have now two people who were given moon remedies when they were young. It is a Aries level. So it's a living example. Uncles. Not mama, only uncles. Sixth lord. No. Hello, my Jyotish is going out of the window. Sixth lord is uncles. Mercury represents uncles and relatives, but uncles primarily. That's why I asked. He said my uncle gave it to me, so I just asked him where I assumed Mercury must be in a Kendra or in a good spot to give it. It's just very easy to make these connections. Okay? So are you clear? Mm-hmm. So you need to imbibe this. You're not to forget it. You're not to read it like a formula. Alright, like the way Dipen may be reading his statutes. But when you read your statutes, you have a lot of case law backing up. Right? Am I right on that?
Yes.
It's like that. So don't just read the statute. Don't just read the formula. You have to read the whole circumstances of it. Okay. So now I think you are, you know what this point is.
Now, beyond yeah. 8th year, there is no danger meaning?
No. Like... There is no danger to death. These are all dangers to life. These people have had all life-threatening dangers. Mm-hmm. All of them. Mm-hmm. And they got saved. Mm-hmm. This is what we are talking about.
All these situations show something in the age of paper.
No, this particular shloka is saying that. Okay? Yes, definitely Balarishta. So if you have a chart and you see such a combination, then what did Nirmallo's, whoever the family astrologer may have been, and Akshat's family astrologer, for both of them, what they would have done? Do you think they would have told the parents ki, oh, your Devi is going to die? They didn't do. They said ki, they would have said ki, immediately put this on, this is important, health cheek rahega. Your health will be fine. You know, so this period is not very good for the baby. Put this, they'll get protection, don't take it out. This is the way they talk. They are not going to say, oh, you have Balarishta yoga, blah blah, and the threat of death. No. So lot of people have these combinations. So you have people in the class, you have Guruji having that, people survive because of that. There is another point that I want to make over here. When you have this malefics aspecting this Dusthana moon, like your Saturn and Rahu or Mars and Rahu, whatever, these malefics become more malefic. They become a double malefic. When they are, they, for this principle only I'm talking about. Okay, in this principle itself, just don't mind, I have a knee problem, so I need to sit down from time to time. This combination, where Vikas and Nirmallo and Guruji and Akshat, all of you who have this combination, Rahu's wife, is that when this Saturn and Rahu is aspecting the chart, or Saturn, Mars and Rahu, they become a double malefic. So the threat to longevity is very high when they are aspecting a Dusthana Chandra. And if Guru is helping you out in this, then Guru becomes a double benefic. If Guru is strong, or the benefic is strong in helping you out, then that benefic becomes a double benefic.
Sorry,
yeah.
If Guru is in Dusthana, aspecting moon in Dusthana, is it considered as good or is it weakened because...
No, you have to make a judgment of that. Those horoscopes are individual. You are now, this is the second house placement of Jupiter, in whose chart we saw your wives, right? In the sign of Pisces, which is, it's in a Swashetra, it's a very strong Jupiter. Very, very strong Jupiter, having both Graha and Rashi Vrishti on that thing. But like for example in Akshat's case, Guru is in third house, which is not a good placement for Jupiter. It is considered a Maranakarakshana. Okay? That is not good. In his case, that his Venus is also not good. His Venus is in the 8th house. The Mercury is in a Kendra. You already know by now planets in Kendra are strong. I don't need to tell you that. Yeah.
The benefic and the malefic double, it lasts a whole life or just until the 8th?
No, just until this is where the death thing is concerned. Whether the death thing is concerned, this is a death combination. These are trouble combinations. So death may not occur because there are other things which are breaking that thing. So all these people didn't die, Guruji didn't die, but they faced, I mean, a tract over his head, he would have died, right? But they all came out of it. He has three malefics. So they are coming out of that. But they can have other issues with these malefics aspecting more. There can be disturbance of the mind. That I'm sure if you ask Guruji, he will tell you, oh, that exalted Rahu aspecting my Chandra. Aspecting my Chandra will always disturb the mind. That is a different thing. He doesn't cause damage to his health. It's not this yoga. You are not grasping it. This yoga is a yoga up to 8 years of age.
I was just asking if the double malefic lasted for the rest.
No, the double malefic is for this yoga. Not for other things. It is for this yoga. If this yoga is not functioning after 8, then everything else associated with it is also not functioning. Okay? Yeah.
Guruji, why number 8 till 8 year?
Oh, that is now a very difficult thing. We have certain 8 years given to the planets. So the first, like, have you done the age of the planets? Has that been done to you? We have different schemes over the age of the planets. So that is another factor that is over there. Okay?
We have done that Dasha Bhavana, you know, first year.
That is a different.
Yes.
If malefic becomes retrograde, it's even more powerful.
Yeah, it's more malefic. Yeah. But I don't even need a retrograde over here. Just any vishi or any malefic is good enough. That is good. I don't even need that. Just even one malefic aspecting is giving it to you. Can we move forward from this? Yes.
Do we consider third house? What is considered as good town?
No, yes. We don't really consider third houses as good town. So as I said, when you will do houses, they will go into in more details over that. But third houses, though we do say 368, third houses really not Dushthana. 6, 8 and 12 is Dushthana. And in 6, 8 and 12, then 8 is the worst. Alright? 8, 12 and then 6, there are orders of it. But it is 6, 8 and 12. We don't really consider third houses a... It's not a very good house, but it is not really a Dushthana. Because it's Upachaya also. Third house is also an Upachaya house, which is a house of growth. So it has good potentials to it as well. Always remember Dushthana, largely we talk about 6, 8 and 12. But yes, that these combinations will always give problem. I mean, Guruji always talks about his Rahu aspect on the moon. I'm sure Vikas also knows what that Saturn Mars Rahu on his moon does. It's not a happy situation. I mean, it can disturb you in different ways, it can trouble you. So that is a different thing. Then this yoga is not functioning. Then we are just seeing malefics aspecting the mind. Alright. This yoga is specifically for this thing. Okay. Now we are talking about Dushthana Vakra Graha. In Dushthana Vakra Graha, this is saying that even retrograde benefic planets placed in Dushthanas are death inflicting, like the moon, when aspected by malefic planets. Retrograde benefics. Okay? Retrograde benefits in Dushthana. So like a retrograde Jupiter in 6. Somebody was saying somebody had Jupiter in 6. Just now we were talking.
Yeah, my sister.
Yeah, and somebody else. You also. No, you don't have this combination. Mm-hmm. So is that Jupiter retrograde? No.
I'm not sure actually. I have to check it out. I can't just remember in the chart, but I don't know this.
Yeah, I mean, she's there and she's alive, Maria.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So if the thing is bad, then the person would have had a very bad kind of a combination. So the now, this is actually, this shloka is read with the shloka of the earlier shloka. In the earlier shloka, we have learned that if along with all those combinations of benefits are powerless and weak, then it is adding to that combination. Please only speaking a little bit more about that weak benefit. What is a benefit? What is a bad benefit? A retrograde benefit in a dusthana is not good at all. This is talking a little bit more on that. Commentary on a little bit more on that point. Okay? And under these conditions, if Lagna is aspected or conjoined a benefit planet, then the child dies within a month of birth. So what is he saying? Saying that if a benefit planet really becomes weak, plus the other combinations are there, then the child will die immediately.
That means combining to the last...
Yes, combining to the last. When you go back and read the last shloka, you will see it has given that clause of weak and powerless benefit. Then they said definitely within 8 years it would have died. Now they are saying if that weak and powerful benefit happens to be retrograde and in a dusthana, then there shall be immediate death within a month is what? It's almost like immediate death. So a retrograde benefic aspected or conjoined benefic planet is like a curse. Are you getting the point over here?
Yes. It should be placed in dusthana also.
Yeah, dusthana also. But even if it was not placed in a dusthana, the earlier point, shloka has already told us that a weak and powerless benefit is bad in this combination. He is adding one more point, saying if such a benefit is like retrograde and in a dusthana, then it's really bad, then that benefit becomes evil and is aspecting the benefit. Such an afflicted moon or benefic planet in dusthana, when associated with malefics, becomes a dushta graha. Now are you clear? The sutras, shlokas are all read together. They are adding layers. I want you to think. I want you to think what we are saying. So when a moon which is afflicted, that is in a dusthana, with these malefic guys looking at it, or any benefic planet is also in a dusthana or retrograde, and with malefics, then such a moon or even such a benefic planet becomes a dushta graha. Dushta graha means that a bad planet which is good, seeking you out to do you harm. Seeking you out to do you harm. Okay. Have you got it?
Yes.
So with such a bad combination, a benefic support is needed. And if a benefic is also in a bad placement, is weak, is retrograde, is aspected by malefics, my God, that benefic will turn around and instead of protecting you the way they've protected you, they'll try to harm you. They will join Saturn, Mars and Rahu. The term used is dushtagaha, malefic planet it becomes. Okay? So what we are trying to say is that when you have Jupiter, Venus, Mercury, they should not be retrograde in a dusthana. That is the principle you can draw from that. Moon to should not be in a dusthana. We are saying Jupiter, Moon, Venus, Mercury should not be in a dusthana. Moon can't be retrograde. So the other three benefic planets in a dusthana should not be retrograde either. Okay? Then it becomes a very bad graha. Alright? I'll tell you who has Venus retrograde in 6th house. Somebody's chart I was seeing. Yes. Question answered. Venus in 6th house is, as it is Madanakarak, it is not Venus in 8th or 12th. Venus is in 6th house, Madanakarak and retrograde, must be having aspects. Where is Saturn, Rahu and Mars?
Saturn in Aries, 11th house, Nicha retrograde.
No, Saturn is not aspecting Venus. Is Mars aspecting Venus? Is Rahu aspecting Venus? No, that single benefic planet in that placement, he is facing the wrath of that malefic planet. Hugely malefic planet. Okay. Anybody else who has a retro benefic? Retro benefic in a dusthana. Okay. Tanika first.
I have an example.
Yeah.
My husband has retrograde Jupiter in dusthana.
In which house?
In 6th house. Aspected by Saturn and Venus.
Okay.
Which are in the 12th.
No, Venus is not a malefic.
Yeah, but anyway, it gives some...
No. That's not the way I look at it. I'm looking at it the pure aspect of reality. So Saturn is aspecting it, Mars, Rahu are aspecting it. So it doesn't matter. Jupiter by itself, whether Saturn aspected it or not. Look at Ravi's case. There is no aspect of manifest. There is that Shukra which is Vakri in 6th house.
But second aspect.
I'm just giving you an example. Even if it didn't, it would have been bad. Mm-hmm. In his case, there is no manifest aspect. Mm-hmm. But we know what is going on in his Shukra life. It is very bad. Very, very bad. Exactly that Venus is like a dushtagra and it's like a curse in his life. And it is a double valley because it is also in a Maranakarak sthan. So the malefic aspect is not necessary. Just Vakri in a dushtana. So your husband has Guru Vakri in 6th house. What is his lagna?
Gemini.
He is a Mithuna lagna, so this is in Scorpio. So Guru is the 7th lord as well as the 10th lord. So, there are issues where 7th house is concerned.
Yes, his marriage is the second time and he
Yes. So, I was going to ask, was he married before? So, in that first marriage, his first wife was not at all a good person. Right? Yeah, she must have cheated him and must have hassled and harassed him a lot. Huge amount of harassment. I caught it straight away from this. You understand? Caught it straight away. That her husband has had a very bad first marriage where the first wife cheated on him and had generally a very bad time. Okay? So this would be the thing. Anybody else has? What about you, Yasri?
Mine is Mercury in 12th house.
Mercury in 12th house? Mercury retrograde?
Dhanu Lagna.
Dhanu Lagna. Sorry. 7th lord again. Mercury and in the 12th house.
With my Lagna lord also. Jupiter and Mercury.
Okay, well, Jupiter and Mercury are together over there. So it is the 7th lord and it is also the 10th lord. It is also the Padakesh. Now see, as a Padakesh born to the 12th house, it is a fantastic placement. When Padakesh goes to the 12th house, it is considered very good, the Padas born. Okay. But
aspected by Saturn also.
That just clinches it. But it is otherwise. Okay. So see how the multiple interpretations are coming in. Padakesh in 12th house, very good, Padas born. Jupiter and Mercury together. Good. It's a Guru Buddha Yoga. Fantastic for learning. Very good for learning and studying and those things. Very lovely combination. This tea has Jupiter Mercury in 12th house. But as 7th lord, Vakri and gone to Adusthana as 10th lord, which means place of work.
Work is seriously.
Work, either work or relationship. Will be affected, either one or both.
One is definitely I do, which is work.
You know, the other one you don't know.
Other than that, you still know.
So one is affected, his work is affected very badly, and also Mercury, you know, Mercury is a kalata for work. Really, really malefic Mercury, that is. Retrograde Mercury over there, it's really bad. You've had a lot of problems.
Till now, I'm not still in Mercury.
Yeah, lot of problems.
But you could say that death did not come because of conjunction with Guru. There's protection because...
Yeah, no, we are now here not really talking about death. We are just saying, if I wanted to talk about death, I would have looked at the moon and all those things. We are not talking about death. We are saying that it's just an elaboration of that point, that by itself, the retrograde and Dushthana benefit is like a curse, will cause a lot of trouble. Moon is not involved, so longevity is not that we are talking about. But if such a combination was involved with the combination we talked in the previous slide, then of course immediate death.
Okay.
But here there is no moon association, so that thing is not there. We are just talking, thing is that. Yeah,
I have a retro Venus in the 8th. Which 8th lord?
That's okay. Retro Venus in the 8th house. Are any malefic aspects on it? No, retro Venus in the 8th house. Venus in the 8th house, I was trying to point out to Akshat only. Venus in 8th house is a sadhu yoga. Alright, so when it is a sadhu yoga, what it does is, it's retro, so it's different. A normal Venus in 8th house is a sadhu yoga. it will make you not want to get married or cause delays in marriage and cause all this kind of thing. But because it is retrograde, I don't think these qualities would have been there. You didn't have these problems, right? So it is a retrograde over there. So because it's the sadhu yoga, instead of being going into the sadhu yoga, it has put you onto the bhoga marga. Right?
Very good combination.
What is your lagna?
Capricorn.
It is a makar lagna. So shukra is what lords for you?
Fifth and tenth lord.
So in any aspect, did you have any issues where your child and children is concerned? No issues with child and no issues with God. So see, in this case, because Venus in placement in 8th is not good, it's a back placement. But being Mercury, it has cut off the back placement and actually made it a positive Venus. Otherwise, he would have not wanted to get married, would have issues trying to get married, would have been unhappy in marriage. That's all the sort. Right? Very interesting. Anybody else?
Mercury is beneficial,
no? Mercury has become beneficial. I'm not talking about Mercury, I'm talking about Venus. Has benefit for him because Venus is in 8th house is very bad. So it has not become a dushta graha. But, Dipen, how old are you?
32.
I was just going to say 32 and then he said you are 32. So Venus matures at this age. So what you should be careful of is that of women. So Venus just doesn't mean wife or girlfriend. It means women. So there can be issues of women which may cause you problems. Women may try to, maybe it's a colleague. Even if a colleague who tries to put you down, the 10th lord is also there, na? Tries to pull you down, it'll be a female colleague who will try to pull you down. So the females, be careful with it. Whether it's a female colleague or a female relative in the house, these are the ones who will try to affect you. Or female, it's not relative enough, female juniors. Female juniors or subordinates, please. Female juniors or subordinates or female colleagues. These are the ones who may cause you problem. You've crossed 32, so now up to 32, the chances were stronger. You did not have any such issues to help. So where is Guru also in your chart?
11.
Jupiter is in the 11th house. So is Jupiter having an aspect over there? No, it is not having an aspect. Your Makar Lagna. So Jupiter is in 10 and 8 in Scorpio, yes. And where is Mercury?
9.
Mercury is in the 9th
house. Retro and exalted.
Mercury is retro and exalted. So Mercury exalted is giving him his legal practice and everything over there. It is more Mercury's blessings that he has. But you see how in his case Venus has not this. But keep in mind that you might have this problem. It's not that it will go away. When the dasha, under dasha of such a planet will come, it will happen. In Guruji's case, he was learning that moon under dasha of Sadi. In the dasha, under dasha of the planets, these problems come up. It doesn't mean that all the time in all the years that this is there. So you have to be careful whenever you are running a Shukra, dasha, antar dasha, pratyantar, and there are these female colleagues or juniors or subordinates or travel, you be careful. Okay? Now please let, can we move? Okay. Now we come to Dur Mantra. This is also a very interesting thing, Dur Mantra. This is afflictions on 5th house. It says that the 5th bhava has the conjunctions of Saturn, Mars, Sun and Moon. The mother and brother are to die in quick succession. It's a combination. Sun, Moon, Saturn and Mars. Why do you think they have given this Sun, Moon, Saturn and Mars? Moon conjoined all three malefic planets, Mars, Sun and Saturn, is in a very evil or angry position. Moon affliction threatens mother while Saturn affliction threatens brother. And a mantra bhava comes under a curse called Dur Mantra, which is to take effect shortly. What does a Dur Mantra mean? Fifth house is the house of mantra, right? And Dur Mantra is a bad mantra, can cause harm and damage. That is what we believe in, a Dur Mantra. People who do black magic and wrong, you know, evil spirits or any kind of evil thing is called a Dur Mantra. If you have such a yoga, people will tend to do Dur Mantra on you. What is the affliction on 5th house? of Saturn, Mars, Sun and Moon. And they are saying when this happens, the mother and the brother can die. Why is it saying that the mother and brother can die?
Brother, because it is aspecting the 11th house. Also.
Because it is aspecting the 11th house? Okay.
For mother.
Okay.
For mother, it's a second from the Maraka from the
fourth. Yes, it is a Maraka from the 4th house. The 4th house is the mother. So it is a Maraka Bhava of the 4th house. Okay. For brother, what did you say? It is the 7th house, which is a Maraka. From the younger brothers, it is 3rd house. That is also not good placement. For elder brother, it is Maraka. And for mother, it is Maraka. Saturn, Mars. Alright, these are activation of what happens basically is that the yoga gets activated. Now draw a chart. Draw a chart with Aries Lagna. Aries Lagna is a Kalpurusha. Just draw a chart. It will become very clear to you. Let me do. Okay, let me do the chart so that we can do it together. Planets here, Saturn, Mars, Sun and Moon. Now, one point very correctly as Rajesh has pointed out, very correct, it is the Maraka Bhava from the 4th, right? Mm-hmm. And it is the Maraka Bhava from the 11th house. Hence it causes a danger to mother and brother. Okay, mm-hmm. Now can we identify which other houses first, let's say Saturn is aspecting. Saturn is aspecting 7th house. Which other house Saturn is aspecting? Saturn is aspecting 11th house. Yes or no?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Then what else is Saturn aspecting?
Second.
The second house. Okay. Now, what about Mars?
Mars is aspecting 8th house.
Mars is aspecting. I'm putting a double cross for Mars. No, a single cross would be. There is no other color pen, right? They are all black, so we need a different colors. So Mars is aspecting this, then Mars is aspecting the 11th house also. And Mars is aspecting the 12th house. So, where are you seeing the crosses are coming? Mars is not aspecting this. But 11th house is aspected both by Saturn and Mars. Okay, so what is happening over here? Yama Yoga is getting activated. Why are we talking about death? Why are we saying that it is in the Maraka Bhava for mother and brother? Because it is Saturn and Mars. Saturn and Mars together form something called a Yama Yoga. You know, these big powers form very important yogas in the chart. You will learn that in very advanced Jyotish. Alright, you have Indra Yoga, you have Yama Yoga. Yama Yoga is something very important. It basically means that the god of death has come. Alright, the god of death has come. Now the god of death has come, if god of death can also bless you with longevity, but can also give you the threat of death. So here is straight away, both Saturn and Mars are aspecting the 11th house. So it's pretty bad for brothers, I would say. Plus it is in Maraka Bhava for brothers. Plus Saturn and Mars are together in the Maraka Bhava for Chandra. It is not bad for father. Because from father's house is not aspecting, plus it is placed in the corner. So it is not bad for father. But it is bad for brother and it is bad for mother. So that is why they said in quick succession mother or brother will die. And why are we saying moon? Also put in moon here. We just studied about the moon's afflictions. So moon you can see is getting totally smashed with the presence of Saturn and Mars. So, yeah, basically, this is for you to understand this yoga. Hello. This Yama Yoga. Okay? So now an exercise that you all will have to do is you draw a chart and mark the houses where Saturn and Mars are having drishti commonly. Like in this house it is having two crosses in the 11th house. Which are the houses where you are having two crosses? All of you. You will have to do
it. It's Mars, Saturn on the same house.
Yes. Like 11th houses, Mars is aspecting and Saturn is aspecting. No, in your charts. Please draw your charts and do the crosses. Do the cross all the houses where Saturn is aspecting. Cross all the houses Mars is aspecting. Just do this exercise, all of you.
I would like to add one thing. In my chart, I have Saturn and Mars.
We'll discuss your chart later. Oh.
Yeah.
So
that means the markup for my mama, my mother's brother, my both.
No. You're confusing. Do the exercise what I told you. Do the exercise as I told you. Draw your chart. Put the crosses on all the houses where Saturn and Mars are aspecting. All of you do that.
That house should be aspected by Saturn plus Mars.
Do it separately. Look, I'm giving you two things to do. Mark all the houses aspected by Mars. Mark all the houses aspected by Shani. If you have a blue pen, use a blue pen for Saturn. If you have a red pen for Mars. Just all houses aspected by Saturn and by Mars. Just do that. Yeah.
In my chart.
No, we are not discussing everybody's chart. I've asked her to do the exercise first. I was just thinking, I think we're way past, you know, I broke my watch when I came. Way past 9:30. Mariela, would you take it? Because they won't take the responsibility. Would you take the responsibility of telling me at 9:30 and at.
Yeah.
Later, whatever? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.